Welcome to the River Valley Podcast. River Valley is a group of people seeking to connect to Jesus and connect to each other. And we're excited that you're here. Whether you're listening at home, on the job, maybe at the gym, in the car, wherever you're joining us, I hope that you'll open up your heart, open up your mind, and receive a fresh word from the Lord today. Enjoy the message.
Keeping with all that is going on in the church, because there's a lot, so I have one more for you, and that is tonight at 5 o'clock that we are having our focus night, and so we're going to be praying here in the worship center, 5 o'clock to about 5:50. Look, if you're here today and you're like, I'm not going because I'm not good at prayer, you need to be here, really and truly, be here. If you're like, I'm afraid of prayer, I don't know what to say, I don't know how to say it, I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to show you what I was taught in how to pray, and I want you to get over this hump. Until you learn to get over this and to become good at prayer, you're not going to be mature in Christianity. It's impossible. So let me help you. You're not going to come up to the stage and pray for everyone. That's not what we're going to do. It would be funny, but that's not what we're going to do. All right, so I'm just going to help you learn how to pray, and you're going to go off by yourself and pray in this place. So truly, truly, it's going to be, I want you to be a part of it. I truly expect that if God ever sends revival to our church, that it will happen in a prayer meeting. That's what I think. I really and truly do. So be a part of it tonight at 5 o'clock right in here. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We are continuing in our series called Handle with Care. And today we're looking at our relationships that we need to handle with care. Today we're looking at how to raise our children. I am not good at like wordsmithing and crafting names so that people will be like, ooh, what's that about? So I've entitled this A Sermon About Children. There you go. So you're like, what's that all about? There it is. So very, very helpful. But if you don't have children yet, certainly you want to learn. If you're like me and you have children that are out of the house, there's also some things I've been learning I want to share with you through this sermon. So it really will help all of us. And so this is where we started with my children. The very first verse my kids ever memorized, John 3:16. The second verse they ever memorized was Ephesians 6:1. So that's where we're going to start this morning. Yeah. I was like, say it back. Say it again. All right. Who said that? The Lord. All right. So, yeah. Really and truly. So they were young and could say this. We asked them the other day. You know what's funny is we asked them the other day if they remembered, and they're like, no. And I was like, I know. And so. All right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What's that promise? Verse 3, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Fathers, he's going to specifically address us. Don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So a lot to unpack in these verses. So I want to start out actually with verse 3, and I want to start out with vision. Always start with vision. It's one of the statements, the leadership statements that we have at River Valley. Because if you don't know where you're going, then the steps can feel overwhelming or too much or not necessary. So let's start, always start with vision. What is the vision that you have for your children? So let me give you a good starting vision of how to raise children. It's this: life, abundant life, eternal life. It's a great vision to start out with your children, life. So you are, in a lot of ways, when your children, especially when they are little, you are a surrogate, you are a priest for God. I mean, they look to you and they learn things about God from you. And so we gave our children life. But the Bible says that God knit our children together in their mother's womb. So we see that God blesses us and blesses them, but most of the time he blesses children through their parents. So we gave them life. Now, what do we want them to have in this world? We want them to have abundant life. That's exactly what we just read in Ephesians 6:3. Said, so that it may go well with you, so that you may have a long life. We want our children to have a life that is good, that is worthy of living. It's hard, no matter how old you are, to watch your children suffer, isn't it? And it's wonderful to see them make a good choice and have a good outcome. We want them to have an abundant life. Jesus said, I have come to give abundant life. Jesus is the answer to abundant life. But then number three, we want them to have eternal life. We want them to have a relationship with Jesus and spend an eternity with him in heaven. Listen, be honest. Can you think of anything that's more important? Really and truly, can you think of anything that is more important than your children knowing Jesus Christ and spending an eternity with him? You're going to be most likely to implement this vision when you have a long time perspective. In fact, you're going to make the best choices in your life when your perspective is long time in making it. Unfortunately, the vision that I hear most often today with parents is, I just want them to be happy. I hear that over and over and over. I want them to be happy. And so kids pick up on that. And so kids are smart. Kids are like, hey, I'm going to wait. Oh, now they're at the grocery store and surrounded by people. Now's a perfect time to throw a temper tantrum in the middle of the store. And she's going to say, I want them to be happy. And I'm not happy until I get a cupcake. And you're like, just anything to shut up and not embarrass me. All right, that's a very short time perspective. But when we have a longer perspective that, okay, you can't have everything you want and still have an abundant life, or you've got to learn how to act in a society, you've got to learn how to follow Jesus so that the longest term perspective, you can have eternal life. It makes a difference in how we parent. And so that's what the Bible says. We want to make sure, and it talks about an abundant life, but in eternal life, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. All three of these come through Jesus Christ. Your life, abundant life, and eternal life. So how do you achieve this? How do you achieve this? That's what the rest of this verse is talking about. So the outline today is three words: train, obey, honor. Train, obey, honor. So we're going to do it a little bit out of order in the text that we read. And we're going to do train first, which is verse 4. So let's talk about train your children in a second. We tend to say, I raised my children. And that's fine. Well, I said that too. Raising your children means you fed them, you clothed them, you made sure they got an education, you made sure that when they were getting to the end of their time with you, they had some plans and some ideas to go off into the world and help them on those ways. That's raising your children. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with saying that. But the Bible specifically says, train them in the Lord. Make sure that as they leave, that you have this long time perspective of making sure that they leave with the Lord and what he teaches in their life, that they have adopted those things as their own. Now, on the front end, it's what we lead them to do. But what you want to do is somewhere along the way that they grab it for themselves. We talk a lot at River Valley about generational Christianity. You want to pass this Christianity on to your children so that they adopt it for themselves, so that one day when you die, you go to heaven and you meet your great, great, great grandchildren who you never met on earth, but you know that you have this generational Christianity legacy within your home. Well, that starts with training them how? In the Lord. Making sure that they understand the things of God. So I wrote some ways to think about this so that we can kind of come across. So first, let's talk about position. Position. Your position is, in the Lord, is it first or convenient? If you're training in the Lord, is the Lord first or is he just when it's convenient? Jesus is Lord. If he's Lord, that means priority. His position is over everything. So you get an A plus on this first one for the first part of position. The Bible says that we give the Lord the first of the week, that the Sabbath is set aside to the Lord. That's today, and you're here. You can check it off. You're like, woohoo, we got it. All right, fantastic. But be careful. Make sure that I didn't just happen to catch you on one of the weeks that you're here. And then other weeks you say, well, it's not convenient this week. We've got other things. Make a decision that you are going to make the person of God and the people of God a priority in your life. Being in church, being around the people of God, doing those things, getting them in our children's ministry over there so that they're being raised up with other Christians and they meet people and they're not like, I'm the only one. You're like, no, you're not. There's 250 other kids over there right now. And then look at this service. Look at all the teenagers. Wave, teenagers. Yeah! Hey, teenagers, look at all the old people. Woo! Yeah! All right, you're not alone. You're not the only... Some of you are like, oh, no. Yeah. All right, here's... Look, you're not alone. You're not alone. But make Christ the first of your life. First in the week. Way to go. First in your time of your day. You ought to give the best of your time to Jesus in a quiet time. In a time to spend with him in prayer and reading the word. You ought to give Jesus the first offering of your money as you earn. And I give him a tithe. Jesus is the first of everything. If he's only a convenience when other things don't get in the way, then you're not going to do this part well. Make sure Jesus is Lord. Secondly, let's talk about the time that you spend. Time. Are you giving God consistently or just exposing? I run across parents from time to time say, well, we raised our kids in church. And what they mean was they took their kids to church some. But there's a great difference in consistency and exposure. Exposure is like, yeah, they knew where the church was and they heard it from time to time. But there's something important about every week, building that consistency in. In a couple of weeks, I'm gonna teach you a lesson that God's been teaching me called the power of a permanent decision. Making the decision that I'm going to consistently do the things of God, that I'm going to consistently seek him out, and I'm going to bring my children in on this, makes all of the difference. It's so much different than just exposure where they're like, oh yeah, I got all that. And you're like, no. I want to make sure it's rooted deep in you. So we've got position, we've got time, and then number three, put that up there. Because I forgot what it was. All right, there you go. Yeah, so I was like, I'm going to pull it off. No, I'm not. All right, so place. Is the church the spiritual place in your life, or is home the spiritual place of your life, or both? It ought to be both. Too many people outsource spirituality to the church, and we want to help with that. But if you don't couple that with the home, if you don't couple that with what you're doing there, then you're teaching that this is the God place. This is the spiritual place. This is where we do that stuff. And then the rest of our lives, he really doesn't meddle in our day-to-day responsibilities. This scared me to death, to be honest with you. Because think about it. Like, I have to raise children just like you do. But I had this thing going on that if my kids only heard me talk about Jesus when I was paid to on stage and never at home, then I was subtly teaching them through all the years, well, that's just what dad has to do to get a paycheck. As opposed to, no, this is how we are followers of Jesus. It makes a difference in how we spend our lives and how we do the things of God. So we do that. The Bible says, as you walk along the road, as you get up, as you lie down, there are all of these moments in your lives that kids will see and become curious, and you interject what God says about that situation in those moments. The thing that honestly gets in the way the most is that we miss those moments because too many times we give them screens so that they can be quiet and let us get over with it. Listen, don't do that. The more that you are out in public, don't let them do screens in public because that's where you see the coolest stuff. My favorite example is when I travel in the airport. Everyone has to go to the airport. And so you know who you see at the airport? Everyone. I mean, they come out of the woodwork at the airport. You're walking along the airport and sometimes you're like, oh, and you know, you're like, look. All right, I mean, that's what happens, right? But your kids miss it when they're walking around with an iPad in front of them. You need to be able to teach them, because if they don't have an iPad, here's what they're going to do. They're going to point right at them and go, look, and then that's their first lesson, right? You're like, okay, we all see it. We don't point, and we use our we're about to talk to about people voice. All right, that's an important lesson, right? But then we're going to, that's funny. But like, it brings up this conversation. It brings up these ideas. And we're able to use moments to go, no. Jesus isn't the Sunday morning God. Jesus has something to say about this situation right here, about this. And it's amazing how it happens. Make sure that you're engaging your kids in all of those ways. And so it's not the church and it's not home, it's both. And I am seeing more and more of a, be really careful of a home model where it's almost like even the people of the church scare me to death. Be careful of that. This is the people of God. Let your kids experience that. Like, is everyone in our student group saved and living for the Lord? Absolutely not. But no, not, neither is everyone in this room. Man, we want them to be exposed to that, and we want them to be a part of watching their friends and neighbors come to Jesus Christ as Lord. And so be a part of that. Train your children the way you should go in the things of the Lord. Now, the Bible warns us in this. Don't stir up anger. Don't stir up anger. Parents, your biggest tendency is if you didn't do this well as a teenager and an early adult, you're going to kind of tend to go the opposite way and try to force your kids too much so they don't make some of the same mistakes that you did. And not really kind of take the pulse of your children and say, like, hey, the way we're doing this is kind of making them angry right now. Like, we're doing it too much. And so this is especially true if you've not done this well up to this point, and all of a sudden you're going to start doing it. There's going to be a little bit of backlash, and you're going to have to learn how to do that well. And so for us, and to be honest with you, man, our kids were in church, our kids were in student group, our kids went to camp and now. But every once in a while, there was a moment where, especially our son, our student group wasn't doing just super good when he was little. And there were moments where he'd be like, do I have to go? And there were some moments where we were like, no, it's okay. Like you felt that tension of like, okay, this is going to be too much. Like it's, and there were sometimes that it was yes, but you've got to monitor and watch that so that you can really and truly help them, because you don't want to force it on them. You want to help them accept Jesus Christ and live an abundant life and an eternal life. So be careful in watching through that. One of you will be better at that probably in parenting than the other. You know, like, we get this idea sometimes, well, I'm the dad, I'm in charge, and, you know, I just read that fathers do this. And I would. I was very involved in my children's lives. But Mel is much better than that. And me, she would come in and be like, hey, this is what's going on. I'll be like, really? I mean, I had no idea. And she would tell me, and I, you know, sometimes I was like, no. And then we would find out, and she was like, I told you. And I was like, yeah, you were right. And so like, that's just the way it worked. So listen to each other in that, but watch that. Number two, let's talk about obedience. Obedience, getting your children to obey. One of the biggest ideas that I have on this is your children are going to tend to follow you. My favorite leadership axiom of all times, I bet you've heard me say it 10, 20 times at River Valley, is this: we teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. You could teach your kids Jesus all day long, and you should. That's where we start out in training. But there's going to become a moment where your kids are going to look in the mirror and they're going to look and act and walk and talk like you. It happens. Make sure that you are leading them well. You ought to be able to say to your kids, like Paul said to the church, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to teach you some of these things, and some of these things I'm going to teach you just like me as a pastor, say, hey, I'm still working on this. I'm struggling with this. But I'm also going to say, you can look at my life and you can get a very good idea of the things of God by just following me. Man, obey in the Lord, that I obey the Lord myself. And because of that, it really and truly, my kids see that over time. I was having this conversation just this week, as a matter of fact. And I was laughing with somebody, and I made the comment. I said, you know what? It's just hard to take advice from somebody whose life is a train wreck. That's hard, isn't it? I mean, even when the advice is good, it's hard to take advice from somebody whose life is just a shambles. Because you look at that and you honestly evaluate that. Like, be careful. Make sure you are following Christ. It's much easier to give advice in that. Now, let's talk about how we do that. How we get our children to obey. The big thing that I'm seeing today, I've read a lot about it, is the idea that we is called a partnership idea in parenting. That me and the child partner together. Some of it I understand empathy, understanding what your child is going through, reasoning, helping them understand consequences and those type of things, like being really thoughtful of not anger or those type of things. I get all of those. However, the Bible says obey your parents. It's not a partnership. And that idea is dangerous. When you come with your child, like, what do you think? What do you think? Versus there are just moments say, no, this is wrong. This will hurt. We don't have time for this. You've got to obey right now. You miss out on that moment. And I see too many parents trying to reason with their children when their children are, you know, like unreasonable in the moment. Like, in other words, they've got so emotional or they're so tired or they're so hungry. Like, they're not going to be reasonable in that moment. They've got to learn to just obey. So here's the deal that I'm seeing we're losing as a generation more and more that I think you need to at least consider, and that is spanking. Yes, let's talk about it, all right? So all of the parents are like, ooh, I'm writing this down. All right, so here's the deal. Now, I want to be real careful. Too many times people talk about spanking in the sense of hitting or any kind of physical abuse. That's not what we're talking about. It's unacceptable. We're also not talking about out of control in discipline in any area. That's not helpful either. But to take spanking off of the table as a possible tool that you can use in raising your children is to take discipline that the Bible talks about, I think six times in the Bible that it talks about, off of the table. It's like building a house and saying you have all of these different tools, but don't use the saw, or don't use the hammer, don't use the screwdriver. It's not the end all for every situation, but when you don't have it in the toolbox, when you don't have that availability, you really and truly lose. Well, first of all, I'm going with the Bible. You lose a biblical ideal of discipline. Now, again, it's not the only one that you use. More than once, I can remember our son, when he was little, crying from the bedroom as we were disciplining him, going, please, won't you just spank me? Because we didn't let him watch Kung Fu Panda one night. And man, that was way worse. He was like, just spank me. We're like, no, this is the perfect punishment, the one you don't want. And, you know, and he's got an older sister going, that was a great movie, Kung Fu. You know how older siblings are supposed to do. And but when you take it off of the table as a way of discipline, it's quick, it's effective. I'm telling you. I'm not the one who's really good at remembering all of the details, when we started, when we ended, how we did all of, that's not my job. So Mel's here today. If you've got specific questions, ask her. I don't remember, my daughter's 23, I don't think we stopped last year or something like that. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. but I can't tell you how effective it is. I cannot tell you how effective it is in helping your children learn to obey early in life, quickly and moving on. I remember one time, my daughter lives like super, like she's loud. She's always been loud, loud. Everybody's like, where did that come from? I don't know. But she's super loud. And so when we would spank her, she would just moan and wail and cry and, you know, like over the top. And Creed picked that up, because I'm fairly certain, like at one point she goes, look, you've got to do this. It makes them feel like they're doing a good job. So Creed picked that up, and he would cry and wail and moan, even though that's really not his personality. But one day we were out camping and we were in a tent, and he did something, and here's where spanking works really well. Spanking works really well with expectations and consequences. If you do this, then this is the consequence. Very clear, and it's got to be repeated over and over again. You know, kids in different situations. So this is what we want you to do. If you don't do this, this is what we're going to do. We had one of those moments that he knew very clearly. He didn't obey, so I told him I was going to spank him. But we were in this tent, and I was like, dude, you cannot, like, yell and scream. All right, people are going to hear. In our house, just get after it. But you know, like, in the tent, people are going to be like, what is going on in there? So I looked at him. I think he was, like, like eight, something like that. And I was like, you got to man up and take it like a man. All right, so that's what I told him. And I spanked him. And he was like, ooh, it didn't make a sound. And I was like, dude, that was awesome. And he went, thank you. Like, I mean, I was giving him chest bumps. I was like, that was awesome. That was so cool. And he still remembers it to this day. He was like, that was good. I didn't make a sound. Like, oh, it was awesome. Awesome. Love it. I think sometimes that we can think, like, even later on in life when we spank our kids, like, they're going to have these memories. Oh, my parents were so mean. Like, it's not that way. It is like they understand when you do it well, when you explain, when you love them through that process, I don't want to do this. I want you to obey, but this is important that you learn to obey. Man, and it truly is. Even with our kids today, I've asked them so many times, like they're like, I understand. I got it. And I'm glad in that moment. It just like reversed trajectory for me. Be very, very careful if you completely take it off the table. First of all, because it's biblical. Second of all, be careful if you're raising your kids, looking around at everybody who's got the kids the same age as you and going, what do we think? You can do philosophy all day long. I'll take practicality on the opposite end. And we've been doing this long enough. We've got adult children now, and I like the way that we produce children. I like those things. And that's different than philosophy of what you think is going to happen. Now, the Bible says in tandem with obedience, we've got to learn honor. Honor is number three in our notes. We've got to learn honor. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Now, here's the deal. Obedience ends with childhood. Honor never ends. Honoring your parents never ends. You don't have to obey your parents as an adult, but you do have to honor them all of the days of their life, including if they are not, if they weren't the greatest parents in the world. And we tend to want to do this. So this is what Mel and I are working through right now. We've talked a lot about this because this sermon's coming up. I've known about it for months. And so we just talk a lot about, okay, how do we honor children? Because the Bible says, so that it may go well with you. So I, as a 50-year-old adult, want to honor my parents. I want to honor Melinda's parents. We're thankful that all of our parents are still living, man. It's great. And we have great parents. And so we want to learn how to honor them. And so this is kind of some of the ways that we've come up with that. Now remember, if your kids see you honoring your parents, then they're much more likely to honor you as well. So a couple of things. First of all, if there's something in your parents' life that's going to prohibit inclusion, and if they're doing something that you just cannot live with, or that is just not godly, you're like, we're out on this thing. If you don't, it is okay to have a conversation with your parents about those, but be thoughtful of how that happens. Most parents, it's hard to take that from their children, and so be very careful about the surroundings. I mean, it's not like, you know, Thanksgiving Day. It's like, pass the potatoes, you know, like, hey, let's talk about how mom messed up as a mom. All right, let's not do that. So you've got to learn how to really control that conversation. And I'm here to tell you, I had to do this recently. And before I did it, man, Mel coached me through it, you know, and I listened to her because I was emotional. It's an emotional thing. And so she's like, you know, you have a tendency to say it this way, or to don't do this, you know, control the situation. Do it very briefly. Don't make it this long, drawn out lecture of you know, and that brings up this, and that brings up 1982. And you know, don't do that. Like, just, hey, I see this thing. I want to talk about this thing and this thing only. And I did this very recently, and I'm here to tell you, it turned out fabulous. Fantastic. I mean, I can't, I'm so thankful that I did it, and I worked really hard at honoring my parent in this conversation, but I had this conversation, and it was fantastic. I learned some things I didn't know. I had some incorrect perceptions. We talked, man, we prayed together at the end. Oh, it was great. And so it's okay to bring that up, even to your adult parents, but be careful that you're honoring and doing that. Now, once that happens, you know, you hope that they see and maybe the Lord uses that moment or you get some clarity. But if that doesn't happen, then you're going to have to decide, all right, our relationships with our parents, this is the verbiage we use, we have to learn to play in their sandbox. We have to learn to play in their sandbox. And so my parents have chosen, and all of our parents have chosen this choice. And if it's not like a deal breaker thing, then I'm going to learn how to play in their sandbox so that I honor them. This is the decisions they've made. These are the things. Whether I agree, whether I like it, whether I think it's the best or not, I'm going to honor my parents exactly where they are, and I'm going to play in their sandbox in a way that's conducive to them so that they can enjoy these years of their life. And then, for me, the biggest thing about honoring our parents is including them. Some of you talk to your parents all of the time, like on the phone or what, and that's fantastic. Man, but if you've not gotten the habit of it, can you write in your notes right now, call mom, call dad. Like, you don't have to tell them, hey, you're a great mom. Just tell them about your life. Or, you know what they're really excited about? Tell them about the grandkids' lives. I mean, they love that. You know, grandkids are God's blessing for not killing your own kids. That's what grandkids are, man. Tell them all about this, what's happening. This is where I've really tried to do that, is anytime something fun or anytime something funny happens to me, I try to call one of my parents. Hey, guess what? Something just happened. Tell me. And it's like right there on the spot. And it's not call and connect for an hour and a half. It's call, I'm going to tell you a funny thing. Sometimes it turns into an hour conversation. Sometimes it's time for 5 minutes, but you learn to honor your father and your mother, and you include them in your life that way. You probably can't, you know, we live in this very stretched out society where they might be a plane ride away. You might not get to see them as often as you want, but you can include them very, very often. Now, here's how I want to end up today. And I want to end up with grace. Grace. I want to show you a verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Grace. Says, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in the time of need. Grace. Aren't you glad that God doesn't sit on a throne of deserving? Aren't you glad that God doesn't say, let all those who are deserving come to me? Let all of you who've never made mistakes come and find my goodness. It's not what it says. God sits on a throne of grace where you come to God and you say, I haven't done it perfect. I haven't done it right. I haven't made the right decision. I messed up here. God, can you give me grace and mercy in my time of need? Now look at me. This includes, as I get older, I know this more and more often, this includes those of you who have adult children who are not walking with the Lord. This verse that you can go and you can ask grace of God. You don't say, God, I raised them right. You might have. Or you might have to say, God, you know what? I didn't do those things that we talked about today. But I'm not coming here saying, I deserve this because I did it right. I'm coming to grace and saying, can you please give me what I don't deserve, what I didn't earn? Can you please bring my children back into Jesus Christ? Can you please show them the grace of God in their lives? Can you please put my people around them that will point them to the goodness of Jesus Christ? Can you please surround my grandchildren with people who will lift them up and show them the ways to Jesus? I'm not asking because I deserve it. I'm asking because you sit on a throne of grace, and when I go boldly to you in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I can get grace and mercy. This is my time of need. Help me, Jesus, to see my children flourish in life, abundant life, and eternal life. Let's pray for that right now. Let's practice that. Hebrews 4:16. Let us approach the throne of grace. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. So right today, I want to ask you, are you going to the throne of grace? Do you have a relationship with Jesus as Lord? It really is the most important thing for your kids to follow you. Today, have you made a decision to follow Jesus as Lord? Well, how does that happen? Grace. Jesus did all of the work that he took our penalty upon him on the cross. He took our sin and he took the consequences of those sin, separation from God, and they were nailed to the cross with Jesus. And so we don't earn salvation. We don't learn salvation. We don't promise. We ask God, God, will you give me what I don't deserve? Give me grace. So today, if you've never asked Jesus to follow you or to told Jesus that you will follow him, that you'll be a follower all the days of your life, let Jesus Christ come into your life and forgive your sins and set you free. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, and then on the third day, Jesus came alive. And you will be in front of the throne of grace. So now you can ask Jesus, God, I need mercy. I need grace. I don't deserve this. And I want you to pray for your children. It really doesn't matter the age. If you don't have children yet, it's okay to pray for them still. God knows the timelines that he has. Pray over them life, abundant life, eternal life. In moments where you see things, people, situations, sins standing in the way, claim dominion over that. Say, God, I plant the flag of Jesus Christ firmly in this situation. Let nothing and no one come in the middle of that. Ask God, help me to train effectively my children. Help me to place you first and help me to show them that we place God first. That we give him consistent time, and that all of our lives revolve around Jesus, church and home and work and everywhere else. God, help us to obey you and help us to teach our children to obey. God, we understand that the only way that we can ever develop self-discipline is if we are disciplined. Help us to discipline our children well. Help us to see, like, there's different ways and different means. Help us to use everything available to steer them towards Jesus. Now, help me to honor my father and my mother. For some of you, you got great moms and dads. Even if they're passed on, like, it's easy because their memory and their legacy is so rich. But the position is important. They are our parents. God, help me to honor my father and mother. Obedience ends, honor does not. So this is for everyone. As I've gotten older in River Valley, I've become more and more aware over the years. I have lots of people in our church that have adult children that I pray for, that you know aren't living for the Lord or walked away, that those type of things. And so I want to end today, and I want to pray specifically for those children. They're heavy on their parents' heart, and their influence isn't as much as you know when they're at home when they're little. And so, Father, those who are lifting up their children today, especially those adult children who are not living for Christ and the ways of the world have influenced them, God, I pray in the name of Jesus and I declare dominion over their lives and their situations. You, Jesus, are sovereign. There is nothing that can come against you. There is no one who can attack you. God, you are all powerful and you can do everything, Jesus, except fail. So I claim in the name of Jesus Christ these children. God, I ask you to use them, to use the situations around them, to use the people around them. God, I pray that every moment, every day, that God works all things together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. And I pray that you would put them in places and situations that would point them to the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that in their parents' lifetime that they would see these things coming about, and they would see your working, and they would see their children and their grandchildren and generations turn back fully to Jesus Christ. God, we are not praying for them to just come to church a little bit or to stop sinning a little bit. I am praying specifically right now for these children that they would be great men and women of God, that they would serve you well, that they would repent of their sins, and that, God, we would see them that you are an overcoming God, and they have applied that overcoming to their own lives. And they walked away from a time, they made some bad decisions, they were influenced incorrectly, but, God, those days are over in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray it in faith of what is to come, and I pray it that we will have faith until we see the vision unfold before us. God, you are wonderful and sovereign, and we love our children only though a fraction as much as you do. For you love the world so much that you gave your one and only Son, Jesus. Be sovereign in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. I pray that the message gave you hope, that you were inspired, you were challenged. And I want to also encourage you that if you'd like to join us live, you can go to myrivervalley.church or download the River Valley app for more info about service times, directions, and ministries. And thank you for giving. Your generosity and how you serve as our church family is so important to us. You are helping reach people for the gospel of Jesus. You can go to myrivervalley.church/give for more details there as well. We'll see you next week.